Is it possible to change without trauma, without pain? Today, I'm going to be talking about how you can have effortless change. Stay tuned. Welcome to Charis Daily. I'm Andrew Womack. Glad that you've joined me. And today I'm going to be sharing about how important the Word of God is to your Christian life. And of course, all of this month, all of our presenters here on Charis Daily are dealing with this same thing. I'm sure we're probably going to cross each other and minister on some of the same scriptures. But you know, Mike Pickett, our vice president of the ministry, he says it's not what you hear that changes you. It's what you keep on hearing that changes you. And each one of us say things from a little bit different perspective, so I think it will really be a blessing. And I'm offering my book on effortless change. I talked about that the last session I did. I won't expound on it, but there is such a thing as changing effortlessly. And the way you do it is by taking the seed of God's Word and planting it in your heart. These are some verses I've already referred to, but I want to remind you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." And if faith is the victory that overcomes the world, how do you get faith? Well, Romans 10, 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So teaching from the Word of God, or let me say you getting in the Word of God and receiving revelation of it, is absolutely essential. And this is the number one reason I believe that most Christians live way, way, way below their privileges, is because they're praying for God to heal them, prosper them, deliver them, open up doors, give them wisdom, all of these kind of things, but they aren't taking the seed of God's Word. And this is the way that He reveals Himself to us. This is really significant, and the very fact that you're watching this program shows that you are committed, that you do have an understanding of how important the Word of God is to you, and so you're headed in the right direction. But most of the people I deal with, myself included, man, we could just do so much more. We let the world get in the way of the time that we could be spending in the Word. You know, I don't personally know this, but I have read a survey, and they say that the average American spends up to 4 to 5 hours per day on their phone. And I can guarantee you that's not reading the Bible, and it's not making calls. Most of it is looking at the headlines, playing games, doing stuff. We just spend a huge amount of time that in the light of eternity doesn't matter for much. When you understand how important God's Word is to your life, it will cause you to get to where you just devour the Word of God. So I want to turn over to Mark chapter 4. Again, I referenced these things in my previous teaching this month on the power of God's Word. I referenced some of this, but I just want to go into some of the detail in this and look at some of the things that Jesus Himself taught. Jesus was teaching how the kingdom of God operates. And of course, He's the one that established the kingdom of God. He is Lord over all these things, and so we've got to follow His instructions. And here's what He says. He gave, actually, He gave 10 parables in one day. You have to combine Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to get that. But right here in Mark, there are a number. I think there's 4 parables in just this one book, or this one chapter of Mark chapter 4, and He said this in Mark chapter 4 and verse 13, when His disciples asked for Him to explain what this parable about the sower sowing the seed was. He said this in Mark 4, 13. He said, "Know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables?" This is the key to unlocking everything He taught, was understanding this parable. So this is really important, and I can just testify in my own life that back probably 52 or 53 years ago is when God revealed this parable to me. And this is nearly what I teach on all the time. Matter of fact, I've had some people say that if you just take his Bible and just open it, it'll automatically open to Mark chapter 4. That's how much I've ministered on this, and it has been life-changing. And I just want to encourage you, as Jesus said, this is the key to understanding all of His parables. So I encourage you to please just open up your heart and receive this. If you could get these truths and then conform your life to what the Lord is teaching right here in this parable, I guarantee you, it'd totally change your life. And that's basically the foundation of this book. And this book, again, is a gift to you if you go to CharisDailyGTN.com. You can sign up and get this as our free gift. And it will just expound on this and bring a lot of other scriptures into play. So let's look at this. In verse 14, he starts explaining the parable. First of all, let me real quickly just summarize the parable that he gave in the very first part of this book. People in those days didn't dig furrows and space their seed the way that we do today. You actually can get a bigger crop if you do it the way we do today and plant it, you know, and space your seeds. But in those days, they just would have a sack around their shoulders, and they would reach in and grab a handful of seed, and they'd just throw it, and it would land everywhere. And some of the seed would be eaten up. Some of it would land on rocks and never work. But some of it would land on fertile ground and it would produce. And that's the way that they planted in those days. And that's the illustration that he uses. And so in verse 14, he begins to give the interpretation of this parable. And he says, the sower sows the word. He's making it clear. I'm not teaching about how to be a farmer. I'm using things that people already understood. That was an agricultural society, and they understood farming. That's how they lived and existed. And he was taking natural laws that they understood and relating spiritual truths to these natural laws and making comparisons. And I think it is awesome that he used a seed to illustrate the word. Because, you know, if he would have used anything else, if he would have used any man-made system, like, say, for instance, talk about school. I've got a Bible college, and, you know, we give tests, and you have to pass these tests. But a man-made system can be cheated. You could actually copy from somebody else the answer. You could actually, you know, just not pay attention in class, and then you could cram for your test the night before a test and put all of the information in your short-term memory, but you didn't really learn it. It's not in your heart. You could pass the test and maybe get a grade and go on, but you didn't learn it. And so, you can cheat a man-made system, but you can't cheat a harvest. You can't wait until the night before harvest and then just stay up all night long planting seed and watering and fertilizing and doing all of the things that you should have been doing for 6 months. You can't put all that effort into one night before the harvest. You have to observe the laws that God made. There is seed and then time and then harvest. And this is a law that God made. So he's comparing it to a natural God-made law that cannot be violated. And, you know, in the natural, we understand this. We would think a person, a fool, who waited until the night before harvest and planted his seed, and then when it didn't come up and he gets upset at God, like, why didn't it work? You didn't follow the laws. See, we would say that's foolish. We would think that a woman who wants to have a child and yet she never has a relationship with a man and she's just praying to have a baby, but she's never had a physical relationship, we think that's foolish. It doesn't work that way. But did you know in the spiritual realm, there are people that pray for healing, and they have never taken the seed of God's Word and planted it in their heart. I'm saying this in love. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm just trying to put it down that God has spiritual laws just like there's natural laws. And if you are praying for a healing and yet you never take the Word of God and put it in your heart, well, it doesn't work that way. Psalms 107:20 says, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And if you don't take the Word of God brings health unto you. It's Proverbs chapter 4, it's around verse 20 or 22. It says that God's Word is health unto all of your flesh and life to them that find it. And so God's Word literally contains His power, His faith. It's like a seed, and you have to plant it. We would think a person is crazy if they just lay on the ground and pray over it and fast, and then they don't understand why nothing is growing. Well, in the same way, there are people that will fast and pray. They will go to conferences. They will beg God. They will do all kinds of things, get the prayer chain together. They do all of this effort, but they don't plant the Word of God in their heart. I've actually had people come up before who were asking for healing from some disease or something, and I'd say, so what scripture are you standing on for your healing? And they'd say, well, I don't know where it is, but doesn't it say some? I can't remember if it's in the Old Covenant or in the New Covenant, but doesn't it say something about by His stripes we are healed or we were healed? Let me just be as blunt as I can be. That's like a woman standing next to a man and saying, is this close enough? Can I get pregnant doing this? You have to have a little bit more interaction than that. You have to know the Word of God. You have to take this seed. And I guarantee you, when you take the Word of God and plant it in your heart, you have an experience with the Word. The Word comes alive on the inside of you. Just like when you plant a seed in the ground, that seed germinates and then it begins to start producing this life. When the Word of God comes off of the page and into your heart, you know it. And I guarantee you, you don't have to say, now, doesn't the Bible say somewhere? Or didn't I hear Andrew or somebody else say this? You have to have more intimacy with the Word of God than that. You know, I remember back when Jamie and I first got married, we were living in a little tiny house in Seagoville, Texas. And anyway, it was a mess. We were struggling. But I had heard scriptures about healing. And I remember I got something like the flu. I don't know what it was. I didn't go to a doctor to find out. But I mean, I had aches and pains. My nose was stopped up. My nose was running. I had fever. I had all of these things. And I just determined I was going to believe God. And I hurt so badly that I could not stand up. I mean, I was in pain. But I didn't want to lay down and just go to sleep. I was wanting to fight this thing. So we had a little tiny place, and we had wood floors. And I remember getting on the floor, and I got on my hands and knees because I knew if I laid down, I'd probably fall asleep. And I was just determined to fight this thing. And I got on my hands and knees, and I put my Bible in front of me, and I started looking up scriptures, Isaiah 53:5, Matthew 8:16-17, 1 Peter 2:24, and just on and on it goes, 3 John 1:2. And I took all of those scriptures, and for 8 hours to keep me from falling asleep, I would read these scriptures, I would recite them, and I was on my hands and knees, and I would push the Bible around with my nose as I was trying to stay awake and fighting these things. And I did that for like 8 hours. Now, I'm not saying that you have to do that, but what I'm saying is I had to get this Word and the faith that was in these words, and I had to take it off of those pages, and I had to get it in my heart. You know, there's a scripture in Joshua 1:8 that says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Notice the link between these words shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein. One of the ways that you meditate is to speak the Word of God. And so I would take these verses and, man, I just all night long went around quoting scriptures about healing. And did you know, to this day, that's been 52 years ago. And to this day, I can quote those verses. They aren't on a page. I had interaction with them. They have come alive on the inside of me. And in the last 52 years, I've only had 3 colds in 52 years. And I'm not saying that to condemn anybody else or to put myself above. I'm saying it to verify that once the Word of God comes alive, it's like a seed, but you got to plant it in your heart. It can't just be close to you. It can't be just in your head. You got to swallow it. You got to get it down on the inside of you. And when the Word of God comes alive in your heart, you know it. You know, Jesus, in the 24th chapter of the book of Luke, He was walking with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and He was rebuking them and upbraiding them because they didn't believe the prophets and the prophecies that Jesus gave Himself. And it says their eyes were holding, and they didn't know who He was until finally they got to their destination. They asked Him to come in, and as He was breaking the bread and praying over the meal, their eyes were open and they knew who Jesus was, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said this in Luke chapter 24. They said, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us?" By the way, when the Word of God comes alive to you, it burns on the inside of you. I don't know how else to describe it. And I'm not really describing a physical feeling, but spiritually, emotionally, the Word comes alive on the inside of you. You know, I've been blessed by the Lord. I've taken the Word of God, and I've seen my son raised from the dead after he was dead for over 4 hours, came back with no brain damage, no more than he had before. I've seen my wife raised from the dead. I've seen blind eyes open, deaf ears open. I've seen people come out of wheelchairs. I've seen great miracles. I've seen God provide for me. I've seen God change people's lives. But if somebody was to say, what's the greatest experience that you've ever had? It wouldn't be any of those miracles. You know, the greatest thing in my life is when I'm studying the Word and seeking God, and God speaks to me, and this Word comes alive in my heart. And some people may think that that's weird after all these other things I mentioned. You just getting the Word coming alive is the most important thing. I can't describe it, but I tell you what, when God Almighty speaks to you through His Word, and it's not just you reading what He said to somebody else, but it comes alive to you. To me, that's the greatest experience, to have God communicate and have His Word just come alive. That germination, the conception, is awesome. Anyway, I've spent a lot of time on just that one verse that the sower sows the Word, but this is so important that you understand that the kingdom of God is as dependent upon the Word of God as this natural physical world is to physical seeds. Did you know all of the plants, all of the animals, people, everything that's alive on this planet comes from seeds. And in the same way that that's true in the spiritual realm, it's true in the spiritual realm. And you just need to get this concept that if you have a need, if you have a financial need, it's in the Word. All you got to do is take scriptures and meditate on it. You know, there was a time back in the 90s when I knew from the beginning that the Lord wanted me to reach people all over the world. And so I had a vision from way back in the 1960s of, you know, just reaching people, traveling the world and doing things. And as I walked with the Lord, I started on radio in 1976, and I was on radio, you know, until just recently. And that now I'm back on radio, so I've basically been on radio ever since. And then in 2000 is when I started my television ministry. And in the late 90s, I knew that I was headed this direction and that God was leading me to go on television. And yet I was struggling financially just being on radio. And I knew that television was going to be 100 times more expensive than radio. And if I was struggling paying my radio bills, man, I'd never be able to make it when I paid television. And yet I knew that that's where God was leading me. And so, you know what I did? I began to take scripture, and I took about 100 scriptures and wrote them out on a legal pad. And I would just read those scriptures and meditate on them and speak them. And for about 2 years, I just did that. You know what I did? I took seeds and I planted them in my heart. And after 2 years, all of a sudden, it's like I just had an epiphany. I got a revelation, and I saw prosperity. And I didn't only see the promises about God would prosper somebody else. Those became alive to me. I saw that this was mine, and I mean instantly, my income just transformed. And since that time, it has just continued to grow and increase. At the time I'm making this program, we have to have a minimum of $8 million a month. We have some months we go up to as much as $13 million per month. And did you know what? That didn't just come out of the sky. It didn't come by me praying for it. It didn't come by me begging God. It didn't come by me going out and twisting people's arms and coercing them, manipulating people. It took place on the inside of me. And I'm promising that whatever you need, whether it's prosperity, whether it's healing, whether it's wisdom to deal with problems that you've got, trying to find out God's will. Whatever it is, there are scriptures that are seeds to whatever your miracle is. A miracle, in a sense, has to be conceived. In the same way that a baby doesn't come by the stork, you have to sow a seed. Did you know you don't get miracles by just praying and begging for it? And I know that that may confuse some people. I am not minimizing prayer, but prayer is like water or Miracle-Grow, fertilizer upon the seed. If you water and fertilize barren ground, you aren't going to get anything. I don't care how much fertilizer you put in there. Prayer is important, but the Word of God is what brings forth things. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then He says in John 17, 17, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit," or excuse me, that's John 6, 63, but that's a great one. But the one I was thinking of, John 17, 17, it says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So it's the truth that sets you free. God's word is the truth, and it's only the truth you know that sets you free. These words contain miracles in them. Man, I wished I had better words to be able to try and get this across to you. Most people hear these things, and then if what I'm saying is true, and if these are miracle seeds, and all you got to do is take it off of the page, not by physically cutting it out, but you meditate on it until this word comes alive on the inside of you. And that's a process. It doesn't just come easily. But if you could understand what I'm saying, then I guarantee you, you would drop everything else and you would begin to start taking this word, and you would see promises for your prosperity, for your healing, for your deliverance. And you would take it and you just take those scriptures and meditate on them until it germinates. And once it germinates, it's just a matter of time until you start seeing the fruit of it. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this is the answer. And this is why so many Christians today are frustrated. They'll hear me give a testimony about something God's done for me or somebody else, or they'll read in the Word and they'll say, "Why aren't these things happening?" And the average Christian is literally frustrated. They see a goal, they see promises, and how do I get from here to there? And they just don't seem to have a track to run on. It's like, what do I do? And they're just shooting in the dark. I'm telling you, this is the answer. The Word of God is an incorruptible seed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." The Word of God is an incorruptible seed. What is it that you need? There's a seed right here. You know, if you want to grow roses, what do? You go to some nursery, or you go to some place where you could order it by mail, but you get, rose seeds, I guess is what you'd call it. But anyway, you get those seeds and you plant it. You don't just pray for it. You go to some place that has the seeds and you get it. If you want squash, if you want okra, if you want corn, you go and get seeds and you plant them. And that's the way it works in the natural realm. It works that way in the spiritual realm. This is a seed store. This has seeds in it for whatever you need. Man, it would be a shame if you were hungry and you had a seed store right next door, and yet you never went and got any seeds, you never planted them, and you just prayed and you begged, and you could have those seeds right there that you could plant them, and yet you starve because you didn't have any food. That'd be tragic. You know, it's just as tragic for Christians to have God's Word available to us and we aren't taking it, we aren't meditating in it day and night. Job said that his Word was like food to him, and he meditated on it and ate that food. There's a number of scriptures where he told Daniel to eat this scroll, the Word of God. Same thing in the book of Revelation. And we need to get to where we esteem the Word of God more than our daily food. Did you know you don't just eat once? You know, it's not like you ate this week and so you don't eat for the next week or something like that. You have to constantly be eating and keeping these things going. You have to constantly be in the Word of God. And again, most people do things in these cycles where they get in trouble and they just focus on the Lord and they pray and they get in the Word and they do these things and they just cram for their final, and they may get a victory and they may get something, but then they're going to be in a crisis again because you don't take the Word and sow it continually. You know, a farmer has to anticipate, not wait until they're hungry, not wait until it's harvest before they go and plant their seed. They have to anticipate that they're going to be hungry if they don't sow that seed. You need to get this same attitude and recognize that you esteem God's Word more than your daily bread, and that you take the Word of God and constantly you are meditating in the Word of God. And you know, I've used a lot of scriptures today, but as far as this parable, all I got was through one verse. That's pretty pitiful. But I guarantee you the truths that I've shared with you today are powerful. And I just encourage you to please get hold of these truths. I'm sharing with you what has worked for me. And you know, I've been in the ministry now for 56 years, and I have seen God do great miracles, and it's my testimony. I'm telling you what has worked for me. It's the Word of God. I'm not educated in the sense that most people would talk about. I went to one semester of college and dropped out. But I guarantee you, being in the Word of God is an education. Knowing the Word of God is the greatest education you'll ever get. Over in Psalms 119, it's somewhere around verse 99 or 100, it says, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." If you would get into the Word of God, see, it would teach you things like this. The reason that we see our society going the direction it's going is because they aren't acknowledging God's Word. They are, in a sense, making it up as they go. They've made themselves God. They say, "I don't care what God's Word says. Here's what I think. This is the way I was raised. This is what my society is saying." And they're just leaning under their own understanding. It doesn't work that way. So in my next session, I'm going to continue to teach on this, and eventually I'm going to get into this parable explaining it. But the things I've said today could change your life. And this is just a portion of what's in this book. I've expounded on all of these things, and we're making this available free of charge. You can go to charisdailygtn.com and you can sign up and you can get this book sent to you. And I promise you, it's a deal changer. I've probably had more people comment on this teaching than possibly anything else. The only other thing that would equal it is my teaching on spirit, soul, and body. But I've had many, many people say that this was a deal changer, and it's just the basic truths that I was sharing with you today. Man, that's awesome. And so we also have people at our phones. We have a number on the screen, and our phone center is open 24/7, and you could call and you could get prayer, and you could call and you could ask for this book. There's lots of different ways that you can receive it, but I just encourage you to take these truths that we've talked about today. And like the scripture says, don't take them as just the word of man, but take it as it is in truth, the Word of God that lives and abides forever. I've spit seeds out of my mouth today that if you will let them enter into your heart, it will germinate, and I guarantee it will produce miracles. This is the way that God intended for us to receive His blessings, is through taking the seed of God's Word and planting it in our heart. So go check it out. Get this book. We'd love to have you have it. And join us again for Charis Daily.